Hello and welcome to the PC Gamer podcast. I'm your host and editor, Ross Atherton, and today, as ever, we're going to be talking about the exciting and interesting matters of the day as regards PC gaming, of course. And joining me today in the PC Gamer podcast studio is Tim Edwards. Hello, Tim. What's on your mind today?
Hello. I am very tired because I spent all night playing WoW last night.
Excellent. Very good. Well, we're going to talk about more about that later, and you can tell us exactly how many bosses you got down.
Woo!
Oh, yeah. And Craig, hello, Craig Pearson.
Hail.
Hail. And you've just spent the lovely bank holiday weekend doing what?
Playing Team Fortress 2.
Excellent. Well, we're going to talk about the unlocks, the new unlock system there, which I believe is somewhat controversial, would you say?
Yeah, it's crap.
It's well, so no controversy whatsoever.
Spoiler.
Then. It's just, spoiler for later on in the podcast there. And last but not least, Tom Francis. Hello, Tom. And what's your deepest, darkest secret?
Damn it. I didn't know she was dead.
Excellent. Well, you know, yeah. We've all made that mistake.
You could have asked me like what my favourite colour was. Or
what's your favourite colour? Black. Black. It's all black.
Blue, no red. Damn it. I don't know that.
So today we're going to be talking about all kinds of interesting and useful things, such as Left 4 Dead 2. Yes, 2, I said. Bioshock 2 multiplayer. We're going to talk about Team Fortress 2 and World of Warcraft and Armor 2, Sims 3.
Finally, another number other than 2.
Yes, yes. Well, it's all about the sequels. Yeah. We do love the sequels, don't we?
Yep.
So all that good stuff. What should we talk about first? Oh, yep. I know. Let's talk about the new issue of PC Gamer magazine.
Yes.
Is that
yes.
The one with Left 4 Dead 2 on the front cover?
That's the one with Left 4 Dead 2 on the front cover, which surprised us as much as I'm sure it surprised all our listeners.
So it's probably worth explaining how the whole we'd like to talk about Left 4 Dead 2 came about with Valve, I guess, because that's kind of a funny story.
Yes, it is.
You go ahead, Ross.
Oh, okay. I'm probably not going to make it funny now. You see, we're recording this podcast in the morning, which is different to normal. We normally do it in the afternoons.
Ross, on topic.
When we're drunker. But I'll try and be interesting. So, we're in discussions with with Valve to do a cover on their next announcement. So we said, oh, great, really looking forward to it. I'm guessing it's Portal 2, I said to Valve. And they said, nope, guess again. And so I said, okay. It must be episode 3 then. Surely, episode 3. Fantastic. Yeah, about time. Great. Let's do episode 3. They were like, nope. Guess again. Which kind of flummoxed us for a moment.
We thought it might be Ricochet 2.
Yeah, Ricochet 2.
Did we?
Yeah. Counter-Strike 2, maybe?
Oh, that's what you guys thought. Yeah. And then, lo and behold, Left 4 Dead 2, which obviously is surprising for a number of reasons, one of which is that it's only been, what,
6 months
since the release of Left 4 Dead?
November.
And they're 17. Planning to get Left 4 Dead 2 out this year. So, yeah, crikey.
That's this year Valve time.
That's, yeah.
Well, they said holidays, so, you know, Christmas again.
Yeah.
2012.
So we've got the full story, obviously, in the new issue, which is on sale on Thursday, June the...
Well, it's on now. On sale now.
On sale now, when you're listening
today.
To this.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. June, is it the 3rd or the 4th?
Actually, so the way this is going to work... is we'll put this up the day before the issue goes on sale.
Okay.
And the issue will be on sale tomorrow.
Excellent. Or
yesterday, if you didn't
yesterday
like it.
Or the week ago, yeah.
Or 7 years ago.
Right, because this will live forever.
Yeah. 3,000 years ago to the day.
Oh, man.
That'd be good to end.
Can you imagine, like, future people listening to this?
Yeah.
Hello from the past.
They'll dig it up in a digital time capsule.
Left 4 Dead 2, come on.
Okay, yeah,
Left 4 Dead 2. Exciting news of the year.
Okay, disc, so... 10 feet underground.
Yes. Yeah. So, one of our US PC Gamer writers went over to see it. In fact, two of them did, and got the full scoop. Lots and lots of details. That's one of the great things about Valve. When you go over to see them, they do give you plenty of details about their stuff.
And drugs.
And do they?
Yeah.
I've never been.
And money.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Maybe I haven't.
Cars.
Didn't remember it. What can we say about Left 4 Dead 2?
So the most exciting thing for me is that they are kind of pushing harder on the story of the outbreak stuff. So in the kind of original Left 4 Dead, you're just kind of thrown out there, and it's all kind of about... It's all almost disjointed.
They don't give you a lot of context as to why and where and who you are and all that stuff.
But I think it looks like they're kind of pushing much harder on that kind of thing. The campaigns are all set in one specific area, which is Louisiana.
Mm.
And
it's kind of about how the outbreak's affected the world more, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because in Left 4 Dead 1, you're just completely alone. It's just you four, and there's no... sign of other human life except for just graffiti on the walls and stuff.
Yeah. And the helicopters.
And the infected humans.
Yeah.
There's one dude and a church.
Yeah.
And that's it. And I think it looks like they're pushing kind of harder on that, which is probably one of the things that people will be least excited about. But I think it's probably the thing that's going to make it a more effective game.
Yeah, I'm quite excited about that. I mean, the passage that I'm thinking of is you sort of have to go through the staging area where you know, obviously previous to the action, you know, survivors were kind of funneled through to make sure they weren't infected and put onto sort of evacuation transport. Yeah. And so you have to fight your way through there, obviously, in the aftermath of an evacuation.
Oh, that's really wicked. I mean, the other thing is that the stuff that people are going to get excited about is chainsaw, frying pans, and more dismemberment.
The chainsaws and the frying pans.
The zombies that have bits come off them as well.
Yep. Falling apart zombies, which, to be fair,
is a wicked shot, actually, kind of Mag, crucial. Of like the two new, there's four new characters, and there's two of them on top of a van, and there's this kind of big horde coming. You can see where they've got, like, the zombies got bits blown out.
I mean, before, when they had blown off them, they would just drop dead. Now it seems like they keep on coming.
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to be brilliant. Yep. I'm so excited.
And it's also daytime?
Yes, daytime levels. I think there's going to be a mixture,
good mixture of day and night. Yeah, actually.
Which is new, obviously.
Yeah,
cool. So obviously they're not vampires.
No.
Yeah. A lot of zombies are wearing sunglasses now.
Yeah.
Little shirts. Sun hats.
You can get the zombies in Plants vs. Zombies to wear sunglasses.
Oh, I'm wondering how long it would take for you to mention the old PVZ.
I held out as long as I could.
Yeah. It's about every 3 minutes in the office, so you did well.
Well, who needs Left 4 Dead 2, really?
Yeah.
Just a few pea shooters.
So I figure that's going to be a game we take a day off to hammer through as a group.
What's that?
Left 4 Dead 2.
Oh, well, that's planning ahead.
Yeah.
Well, I'll be here then.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
Might be overwhelmed by zombies then.
Indeed, so yeah.
Might actually have to do it in real life.
Exactly.
Brilliant.
Good.
You're going to be if the zombie outbreak, you're going to be the absolute dick who just kind of sits there on top of the roof, just kind of snipe and have a great time and then slowly goes mad, aren't you?
No, I'll be doing that, but I will be nudging my friends off the roof at the same time. Go on, you go have a look at the zombies, go, push them back.
That is the way to survive.
Yeah.
It's all fun and games until you have to kill your mother and your best friend in the same day.
Yeah, that's true.
Then you start to wish it was a video game.
Yeah. Or a zombie apocalypse.
So, speaking of multiplayer shooters, that little link there is quite good. Bioshock 2. We've got some multiplayer details in the new issue as well, which is interesting.
Yeah.
Who was saying the other day, that's what we need, is multiplayer in Bioshock. That's what the first
everyone.
One was missing.
Pretty much everyone. Yeah. I think it's one of those things where everyone has basically looked at how well Call of Duty 4 did. With its multiplayer stuff and the kind of legs it had and the sales that it kind of racked up, and gone, oh, we should do that as well with an unlock system where it has kind of some persistence, stats, upgrades.
Hold on just a minute.
Perks.
To what extent does that actually help you shift copies?
A shitload.
People bought Call of Duty 4 to play the single player game and they kept with it because of the multiplayer game. I don't think the multiplayer, the quality of the multiplayer, actually made much of a difference to itself.
I think that's absolutely dead wrong.
Yeah, but the great thing is you can't prove it.
I can, because there's a bunch of statistics been released that said about 13 million people have been playing it on live alone.
That doesn't tell you why they bought the game in the first place.
Well, they'll be telling their friends about it and getting their friends in on it if they want.
I think the multiplayer is the thing that spreads, does the word of mouth more than anything else.
Okay.
Just stop putting it 6 months from now. You're telling people about the multiplayer games.
I stand by the possibility of my theory.
The most popular games on PC and on any platform are the ones that have long-term excellent multiplayer.
Absolutely, but what I'm trying to say is no one's really monetizing that. Oh, God, I just use a business word. No one's making money off multiplayer of Call of Duty 4. In fact, it costs you to run servers.
No,
they'll probably
DLC.
Release a map pack like 6 months from now or something or whatever, and
they
sell millions of those.
Yeah,
but people, I think that's the wrong idea to say they're monetizing it, because people are buying it for that.
I can very easily envisage a future where you're paid 10p an hour to play Call of Duty 4 online.
I think as well.
But then you're
the things, if you have those amazing multiplayer things, is what people do is simply trade the game in on console. If you've got the kind of long-term multiplayer, it kind of destroys the second-hand market. People have to buy it new. Mm-hmm. All that money goes to publishers rather than Game or GameStop.
Yeah, it's a bit of a roundabout way of making money off games, though, isn't it?
It's funny, when I was out at the 2K Marin Studio actually seeing Bioshock 2 for the first time, there was a lot of kind of standing around before we saw the actual meat of the game. And then a lot of the info we actually got out of that trip was talking to the developers and like long interviews after that. And so there was quite a lot of just hanging around their offices, talking to developers, just sort of kind of small talk and just sort of trying to tease a few nuggets out of them. But a journalist friend of mine was actually saying to one of their producers, you know, one of the things I really admire about BioShock is you had all these kind of whiny reviews saying, oh, it should have had multiplayer because every game needs multiplayer, and you know, without any multiplayer functionality, it's kind of missing something. And I just really respected you guys for sticking to your guns on that and just dedicated to making a perfect single-player experience, yeah. Just not bothering and then a multiplayer bullshit that just would have been out of place and completely wrong for the game.
And then a month later...
And then hey, we didn't say anything at all. We just like sat down, saw the presentation, the single-player thing, and then about an hour later in the interviews, I was asking, you know, they've made some strange hints about what we'd saw today wasn't going to be everything that you get. And I said, so what else is there other than, you know, this game
other
that we
than
just
single
saw
player.
That clearly isn't a prequel that, you know, the game we saw was a sequel. And I said, oh, that would be the multiplayer. It's just deadly silence. Someone actually started another question and then stopped halfway through. Well, hang on, the what?
Perhaps we should give some details about what the multiplayer is going to consist of. It seems like a fair idea, given that a lot of people won't have read the article yet.
So it's the multiplayer is a prequel, and it's set during the kind of big war that destroyed Rapture, where Fontaine Futuristics is basically kicking up a big fuss. And you play one of a bunch of different archetypes, isn't it? There's like a housewife, a plumber, I think. And they're among the people who, you know, these great minds of and talents of the generation that Ryan brought down with him to build this society. But they're being used as guinea pigs to test new plasmids by Fontaine Futuristics. And so they're just, you're given, two plasmids and a weapon and then put into an arena. And obviously, because it's Rapture, they can excuse away respawning with Vita Chambers. And you're just there to basically test how good these plasmids are by killing other people, which, of course, is just deathmatch. It's just a bunch of people with different abilities destroying each other in an arena. And there's some, as you kind of progress through, I think it's got a Call of Duty type ranking system whereby all the points that you score contribute towards your rank and you kind of level up. But the form that takes is that when you return to your little chamber, you have a sort of, I think it's like a bedroom, basically, like an apartment that you go back to after matches where you store all your kind of stats, and that's how you access multiplayer lobbies and stuff. You'll get a little message from Fontaine Futuristics saying, congratulations, you've earned the right to this new plasmid, and you can choose whether you want to swap that out for one of the ones you currently got or not.
I think, so my kind of immediate thoughts about it are, A, did they not see what happened to Shadowrun? And B, why not use a fucking menu? Menus work.
Yeah, menu replacements are really useful, and particularly when it's to do with multiplayer and matchmaking and lobbies.
Grand Theft Auto is just really annoying.
Yeah.
Mm, so, yeah, is it going to be any good, though?
Well, in theory, I think the idea of sort of having this very specialised custom loadout where you pick your two plasmids and your one weapon could be quite fun. But as it stands, like, Bioshock 1's combat is very sluggish and sort of... it's more about thinking about what you're going to do carefully and planning around enemy AI. And I think, as it stands, Bioshock 1's combat would not be any good in multiplayer. It would just be too... Yeah. You're always fighting against, you know, how long it takes between when you click and when your character actually moves his hand forwards and does the electro-zap thingy.
I think, as well, it's that kind of conceptual... Multiplayer games live and die on how players feel when they die and if they understand what happened and if they could immediately work out what they should have done to kind of counteract that. A game like that, where you've got kind of so much zap rather than and like weird shit going on, rather than the basic thing, oh, the guy got the jump on me and shot me in the face, I'll just have to get better. You know, I think people will really struggle to grasp and enjoy that kind of experience.
Yeah. I slightly take issue with that. I mean, Counter-Strike is one of the most brutal games for how you feel when you die, because you've just basically been shot by someone who's a little bit better than you, and then you've got a long wait to play again.
Well, that's the thing, though, is that you, because the way Counter-Strike works is you always see, and you kind of, if you're dead, you spectate, and you get to see what's going on and the rest of it, and you never not understand why you die in Counter-Strike. I think when you've got a fire plasmid that's doing a damage over time effect, frost, all the kind of weird shit that's going on as well, you know, nobody likes dying in that kind of way.
They are tweaking all those plasmids to have slightly different effects, like the ice one, instead of freezing you completely, slows you down. And I think the electricity one doesn't stop you in your tracks, but does increase damage that other people do to you, that kind of stuff. So, and also, like, the whole combat system is going to be tightened up, supposedly, because it's Digital Extremes doing it, isn't it? Not actually 2K.
The guys that made the original Unreal Tournament.
So I think stuff like how quickly plasmids actually release when you press the button is going to be tightened a lot.
Good stuff. Well, we shall see. Now, that's due, that's again this year, isn't it?
I think it's one of those games. We're just going to have to sit down and play seriously to work out.
It's going
to
be a bit different, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a bit of a different game.
Whether it's, you know, brilliant or a bit shit, I'm probably in agreement with my journalist friend that Bioshock didn't need multiplayer, that it would have been fine as just a dedicated single player.
Could get another good story in there and better ending.
Having another team making it means that we're not going to get that situation where one team's making one, where one team has stretched themselves to make two things, you know. Mm. So the people who are focusing on single player would just make single player. Yeah. So multiplayer, you know, be there for people to play and enjoy.
It won't matter if it's not great, so long as it won't take away from it. We'll enjoy that.
You can easily kind of get trapped into that idea that, hey, they're doing this, why shouldn't they concentrate on the single player? Yeah. But, you know, we're getting both, so chill out.
Yeah, it's just a question of, like, sort of cheapening the universe, you know, that now this universe is also host to this sort of sporting tournament thing that's all a bit UT and a bit cheap.
Yeah, I think the ending of Bioshock.
I don't think that's a valid kind of complaint to have. You know,
it's tough. I have it anyway.
Right. Okay. Well, should we talk about what we've been playing lately rather than what we're going to be playing in the future?
Okay.
Okay. Tim, why don't you tell us what you've been playing most recently?
So, predictably, I'm back on the WoW crack.
Ah, oh, sweet WoW crack.
WoW
crack.
Yes,
it's so good.
You get a little bit more each day.
I'm just imagining like a 50s advertisement, the little young kid with doing thumbs up and teeth sparkling.
Wow, crack!
Teeth falling out.
So we are, I'm kind of raiding Alduar, which is the big new kind of dungeon in WoW at the moment, with the guild. And it is pretty much being one of the kind of most fun things I've done in a game for a long, long time. It's been absolutely brilliant. Partly because the kind of dungeon itself is amazing, and the kind of architecture of it is so cool and so sparkly.
What sort of area is it?
So it's at the kind of very top of this mountain, and it looks like a kind of classic Greek kind of pantheon thing that they've got going on. But once you get inside, there's this kind of long gauntlet that you have to drive down in vehicles, where you're being attacked by helicopters and tanks.
They've basically thrown. You know, so many ideas at it.
Yeah.
There's mechanical stuff and kind of robotics stuff.
So,
but you're in vehicles, you're being thrown onto bosses to
first boss you come across is this giant kind of tank with a battering ram at the front of it, and you're in kind of catapults and tanks and the rest of it fighting it.
Motorbikes.
And motorbikes as well. But what you have to do...
It's not goblins and elves anymore.
They're just not trying to keep it fantasy up. It's just, whatever, let's throw some sci-fi.
The best thing in it is that you kind of like, you're kiting this tank around, and when it gets to a certain point, you have to load one of your mates into a catapult and fire them onto the back of it, kill these turrets on the top. Then they have to jump off, and they actually parachute down and be picked up by the motorbikes, who are kind of driven by your other mates, and taken back to the catapult. It's utterly batshit, but amazing fun.
The great thing is that you know, these big boss fights have always been about organisation, about getting a team of 10 or 20 or 25 people to do things in the right order at the right time. And I think probably up until fairly recently, that's been hit the boss, hide behind a wall, hit the boss, you know, stop healing, you know, switch tank or whatever. You know, really kind of quite tedious stuff, just very basic, you know, standing on the ground, hitting it or not hitting it. You know, there's various bits of timing and, don't hit him when he's doing the thing, which is really dull. And now they're just saying, let's just throw the whole kitchen sink at it and, you know, get people flying through the air and in vehicles and racing around and, you know, shooting helicopters down.
The mechanics of every boss fight now are very, very different. And if you go into it blind, you're going to die. So every time there's... And I think that's kind of the one thing kind of people don't really get is that every boss fight is a mini game in itself with its own mechanics that you won't necessarily understand when you kind of first go into it. Last night, we literally spent about 25 minutes discussing what was going to happen in a 10-minute kind of fight. And it was just this kind of hilarious monologue between our kind of raid leader kind of puts out. By the end of it, kind of our heads are spinning with all this information of stuff we've got to do. And so the boss in kind of question has like three waves of angry trees that come at you. And each set of angry trees has kind of different abilities and how to deal with all those. And like one of them is, if you're not standing under mushrooms, you can't do anything. You're just kind of sat there mute. So you've got to hide under the mushrooms and drag the boss back to next to the mushroom so you can hit him. But then the mushrooms will disappear, kind of go. But that's just one phase out of a set of three phases. And that's just before you even get to the boss. And so you get this kind of massive monologue of stuff that you have to do. And your head is just kind of pure swimming. And then it's chaos. It's utter chaos, but kind of this enjoyable, manageable chaos. And the feeling of just beating it is... And the bosses are tuned so perfectly to people who have played, like certainly to our group. Mm. So we always feel like, oh God, we can't do this. Oh God, we can't do this. Oh God, we can't do this. Holy shit, we might actually be able to do it. Fuck, we're going to do it. Fuck, oh my God, no, we can't do it. And then finally just kind of getting it. Yeah. And, you know, there's always a couple of kind of guys face down, splat, who've just been one-shotted.
What I find really interesting is that, you know, you still see some complaints about World of Warcraft being fundamentally too easy these days. So all the end game is just a bit too easy, whereas with the Burning Crusade expansion a couple of years ago and with original unexpanded World of Warcraft, the end game was extremely difficult. And that made the most vocal hardcore really happy, because they felt that it was their preserve, that you had to be in an enormous guild of incredibly hardcore people playing every night in order to see the end game. Now they're complaining because more people are accessing the very end game, whereas, you know, I think Blizzard actually said, you know, we only had a small percentage of people see the end game in Burning Crusade. We've got to up that number. Yeah. Was it something like 15%? Saw Black Temple, which was the end of the previous expansion. So now, yeah, they've made it easier to get to the final stuff, the end game, because they want half the people who play WoW to see that stuff.
I think the fun part of it for me actually is just, I've completely forgotten what I was going to say, I'm sorry. It's just amazing, and it is just the kind of ultimate co-op experience.
Yeah, that's the key. When you're doing this endgame stuff, it's all about co-op. It's about listening, about being mature, and it's, you know, it's all good skills. Yeah. Good, well that's WoW in some depth. Tom, what have you been playing lately?
I've been playing Killing Floor.
Ah, yes. Do tell us about Killing Floor.
I hate Floor.
Imagine, right, a game where you and your friends play cooperatively against oncoming hordes of zombies, right?
Right.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be awesome? Well, it might not be a completely novel idea, but it is at least one stage more novel than Left 4 Dead in that it was out before Left 4 Dead was even conceived, because it used to be a UT mod. And it was a surprisingly good-looking and kind of sumptuously designed UT mod, and it was... quite a bit of fun even back then, and since then it's been taken on board by a professional developer who are themselves a mod team made good, who are the guys who made Red Orchestra Tripwire, and now it's just been released as a standalone commercial game on Steam using the Unreal 2004 engine, but
it's actually the Red Orchestra really version of that engine,
right?
So they've modified it for their own needs.
It's actually incredibly pretty, and UT 2004 was always really, really efficient. Like, even when it came out back in those dark days when, you know, computers ran on Steam, it ran on really ancient stuff back then. And so to this day, it runs beautifully on everything.
So why is it different to Left 4 Dead?
On the surface of it, you have six players instead of four, but also it's not a campaign. It's standalone maps where there's like eight of them, I think, at launch. And you get a chance to kind of look around the map very briefly, and then zombie hordes just start pouring in, and you're told how many are left in this wave and how many waves you've got to go. And once you've wiped out a wave, you get, like, I think about a minute respite to find the trader who keeps moving around the map all the time and buy new weapons, buy armor, heal up, and brace yourself for the next wave. And it's all about just managing the sheer number of zombies pouring in. So instead of, like, Left 4 Dead, it's basically about huge, huge numbers of useless infected who just, you know, they're never going to do any serious damage. You always go down in one hit. They're just kind of tissue paper. And then it's all about those special infected and, you know, when they come along, dealing with them, saving your teammates, helping people up, that kind of stuff. In Killing Floor, there's a basic standard kind of zombie thing that comes in the early waves that you don't have to worry about too much, and they're slow, unlike the infected. but they're kind of a bit more resistant, and when you shoot them, they kind of bits come off and they bleed, and it's much more gory. But then as the waves escalate, you get kind of the equivalent of a hunter is this little arachnid type zombie. It crawls along the floor and jumps in your face. But rather than being a special infected that you get like one or two of every now and then, they come in hordes. So you'll have like 25 of those things just absolutely swamping you. So and basically at each stage, you'll have this kind of setup of the wave where you've got a load of one enemy, like the huntery type things. And then one or two really powerful ones, like there's a chainsaw wielding one who's just ultra tough and just kind of stomps towards you, and there's just nothing you can do to stop him.
Gotcha.
And then basically by the time the next wave comes, the boss of the previous wave will become the standard thing, and then there'll be something even tougher on the next one. Jesus.
So it works as you've got like a shack or something that you've got to defend, and
there's no particular area you have to defend, you've just got to survive, but the zombies will spawn anywhere they can out of sight, and
you can't find areas to defend. Like there's one of the weapons is a welding torch where you can all go, because if you've got a shed and you can weld one door shut and have the other one open, and they'll just protect that door, but they will start banging on the door trying to get through as well.
Yeah, so to weld stuff, you kind of you have to hold this welding torch down on the door, and the weld integrity goes up slowly, and you run out of welding juice and has to recharge and that kind of stuff. So it's basically to encourage people to work on it together. So you have like two of you welding, and then you can hold the door indefinitely pretty much. But of course, that's two less of you shooting at the zombies coming from another thing. And if you do find like a room with just one exit, you can weld that shut, but then you know you're never going to kill them, so you'll never actually get out alive. So instead, yeah, as Craig says, you find a whole place with two entrances, weld one of them shut, and deal with all the zombies from the other entrance. It only really takes one of you just every now and then going back to keep that weld going while you hear them banging, screaming on the other side. And then once you're pretty sure you've exhausted all the zombies who are coming in through that exit, you've still got all these other ones to deal with. And so you have this really cool moment where the ones who are firing at the open doorway come and join the welders, and you'll just kind of think, okay, well, we've got to let them through now. So you just back off. You'll stop maintaining the integrity of that seal, and then just watch the percentage go down and down and down as you hear this thumping and screaming and screaming, and then suddenly just... you just get this absolute vast wave of things just flooding in. Awesome. And of course, everyone throws their grenades at the same time, so there's explosions going off at the same time, and then just screams. And then if there's anything in there that's really tough, like a flesh pound, which is this really, really nasty thing it's like a cross between a tank and a witch, and it's almost invulnerable and kills you in one hit. And so if there's anything like that in there, then once the smoke clears, you'll find like half your guys are dead.
the end boss, like, have... rocket launcher in his chest, he turns invisible.
Yeah.
And doesn't he have like.
See, they don't sound like zombies to me. They sound like.
That's the very last guy. He's like the kind of king of zombies. But it's. The waves up until then are absolutely merciless, and you're really lucky to survive to the final wave on any kind of decent difficulty level.
So this has been released standalone on on Steam. And is it, what sort of price are they?
15 quid, I think.
I think it's 10, isn't it?
Well, I know that
you would. I know you're right. Maybe it's 15.
It was the top-selling game on Steam for pretty much all the bank holidays, so it's clearly doing well.
Well, we'll have to get a review of that game, won't we?
What I like about it over Left 4 Dead actually is that the zombies just feel really meaty, and when you're mowing them down, there's just fucking blood everywhere and just guts spurting out, and their heads come off, and they keep coming and stuff like that. And the Left 4 Dead zombies always felt a bit tissue paper to me. They're just like when you shoot them, you don't really feel like they've got any substance to them. They just kind of flop over and vanish and.
Oh, yeah, tripwire are full of gun nuts, so their guns feel really good as well.
Yeah, the guns are absolutely beautiful, really meaty and satisfying.
So if you like Left 4 Dead, you'll love Killing Floor.
Maybe.
Good stuff. Craig, what have you been playing?
I've been playing Team Fortress 2.
You have indeed.
Up until this weekend was great.
Valve ruined it with their stupid system. Yeah. Right. Okay, are we going to go out on a limb and say Valve have ruined the game?
No. There's a lot of good stuff in this. Brilliantly. Valve did everything right up until the release of the update. What Valve do is spy sniper update. What they do is they have a set period of time, like 5 days usually, to show off what they're building up to for the release. And midway through the sniper update, a spy appeared behind them, cloaked on the sniper update page, and then disappeared again. And everyone was like, what the fuck's going on? People were cries of Photoshop and whatever. And it wasn't. It turns out the sniper update turned out to be the spy update as well. The spy stabbed the sniper in the next update. And we found out what the spy and the sniper were both getting, and there's a lot of good stuff in there. But Valve decided to change a few things. Up until now, the way to unlock their new weapons that they introduced with these packs is to do achievements. And every achievement you get, I think you get about 36 achievements, and there's milestones set through the achievements where you collect weapons. Valve because of how that changes the game after that update, everyone starts grinding for those updates.
Yeah.
So you'll join a server with like 10 snipers or something, whatever, and it can be fun, but it's not really fun.
Yeah, it's not how the game is intended to be.
In order to do away with that, Valve decided to just do away with the unlocks system. And bizarrely now, what you do is you play the game for a certain amount of time, and you just get given stuff.
And you don't have to play as the spy or the sniper in order to get a spy or sniper.
But it's any update, unlock. It's any unlock. So, yeah. I think it's every half hour, 45 minutes.
So you're still getting pyro yep. unlocks and...
But
heavy unlocks.
The old system is still in there for those unlocks as well. So I was playing on a server and some guy got his pyro milestone. So he unlocked the pyro unlock.
Yeah. So there are no milestones for the spy. Yeah, no. Stuff, exactly. But there are milestones for all the other things.
For all the ones. And the reason for this is for the drops and for you to be able to get old unlocks is that Valve are about to put in a trading system, which they haven't done yet.
So what keeps happening at the moment is people keep unlocking stuff they've already got.
Yeah.
So you've already got all the medic stuff, and you'll just find another Ubersaw, and then a couple of hours later, you'll unlock another Ubersaw, and then some people have got like 10 sandwiches, nothing new. So they're getting really pissed off with
it. It's very strange for Valve to do something like this. They've got a broken system working with an old system working with a new system. It's confusing.
Any idea how this trading thing is going to work then?
Even if they had a
World of Warcraft's trade channel.
Yeah.
Even if they had a trading system, it just wouldn't be that useful. Like, if you've got 10 sandwiches, everyone's got the sandwich, who wants it. Yeah. No one's going to trade the new cloak and dagger thing, which is the spy cloak, for an old unlock that they could get through achievements quite easily.
Yeah. It's a bit panini, isn't it?
As a spy, and as a good spy, the problem I'm having is I can see people who aren't as good a spy as me with the weapons that I want. It's like, they've got this awesome gun. It's not a great gun in terms of use, but it looks amazing.
The Ambassador.
Yes, it's incredible. And I want it. And I haven't been given it by the game, despite having played Spy for nearly 180 hours.
It's that disconnect between, unlocks like that, you feel like you want to earn them.
Yeah.
And you're not earning them, you are just being randomly kind of...
I think that's why, it's a good parallel with World of Warcraft there, that Blizzard have moved away from pure random drops of the really good loot to... a mixture of some random drops and some badge token reward things. Mm. So you'll always get a badge off a certain boss, which means you can trade it in for one of these best in slot items. So they've moved away from that random element, which basically had people just grinding away, knowing that eventually they'll get it.
It was pissing me, to be honest. I can kind of understand the frustration, because I played TF2 for about 6 hours over the bank holiday weekend, didn't get anything. And I think the reason it's frustrating, because I wanted to play it to get the new stuff, and that's why I was playing it.
Yeah,
at that
that's
time.
Why everyone came this weekend.
With the previous unlocks, that you could play it for an hour or two in a certain way, looking for whatever type of kill, and you knew that you would get it.
The spy achievements are actually really good. I mean, just playing it as I usually play it, I've got like 22 of them already, and that's over a weekend.
They said that the unlocks frequency is not right at the moment, like it's bugged, and they meant for it to be much quicker, and you should, if you play for a couple of hours, you'd always get something. But to me, that's not the problem. It's that you can't feel like you're progressing towards it. Like, I've got a bunch of new stuff, and that's really cool, but I specifically want the cloak and dagger unlock, and there's no way for me to increase the chances that I'll get it, and the chances they'll get it are incredibly low. Like, each time I unlock something, there's like 30 other things it could be.
Yeah.
And there's no way for me to actually feel like I'm progressing
towards the thing that you want. Yeah.
They also introduced hats as well, and they're very rare.
So apparently, I was talking to some guys on the PC Gamer server last night, is 3 hats dropped in 3 minutes on the server.
That was someone...
Everyone come to our server.
Breaking it, basically. Really? They found a way to spam the message. They didn't actually get the hats themselves. Okay. Found a way to spam the message. But I went on, I joined Chet Falzek from Valve on his server, or a server he was playing on. He was running around as a heavy with a helmet on. He was so proud of his helmet.
The heavy helmet is so dumb. It just looks rubbish.
It looks amazing. I love how stupid it is.
The pyro gets a beanie with a little propeller on top. It's really cute.
And the spy gets a fedora.
One positive effect of the stupid new unlock system, which I hate, is, and I imagine they intended for this to happen, is that within about half an hour of playing, I got the Huntsman, which is the bow for the sniper. And I don't play sniper at all. It's literally my least played class until this weekend. But because I had this new cool new toy for him to play around with, I immediately switched to sniper and played around with it. Mm. And it generally changes the class completely. It's like they've added a new class to the game. You're suddenly not someone who camps and guards things at long range, because the arrow takes a while to travel, so you have to be close to people to kill them. And so you become this kind of close range, high risk ambush class who can kill people in one hit, but have to be really dead on with your prediction and all this anticipation stuff. And it's also really satisfying because it can stick people to walls, and even if it doesn't stick to people to walls, you've got these giant arrows sticking out of the
way. Isn't
that
exactly the thing they were trying to avoid in like making everyone play as the sniper?
Well, it doesn't make everyone play as sniper because not everyone got this. Yeah. So it's just a case of making someone who traditionally would always play as spy during this time actually try out a class that I didn't normally play and actually have quite a lot of fun with it.
I got the jar of piss as well.
Yeah, me too. I got an achievement yesterday for soaking 4 different people in my piss at once. There's an achievement for soaking somebody you're dominating in your piss.
Oh, this is wrong.
It is wrong. There's a strange side effect of the what they're trying to do, which is, like, say, they felt that the unlock system was creating servers full of games that don't reflect Team Fortress 2. But now, the only way to unlock stuff is to play the game or to be in the server. So you could be spectating for 7 hours. People who are spectating are getting weapon unlocks.
What? I thought there were literal drops that you picked up.
No. It just happens. So basically, there's a bunch of servers are now out there now dedicated to just having people stand there for 7 hours.
Achievement idle servers. Yes. And I think I actually joined one to see what they're like. And
they're definitely going to patch that out, aren't they?
I think there's some kind of... I don't know if this is the mapmakers being paranoid or if it's an actual requirement, but the achievement idle servers, where you spawn, there's just a constant damage effect on you, and so you're constantly getting hurt, and then you die after a while and respawn. I think it's to make the game think that you're playing.
I think that's just so that your longest life isn't... your longest life life stat isn't...
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because I did one as well, and joined it left for 7 hours, because I'm going to be writing about this kind of shit. Mm. And now my longest life is 7 hours as a sniper.
Good grief.
Yeah. But what's interesting about the server I joined is that... no one was idle. Like, there was like one or two people just standing around at the spawn, but most people were actually like setting up sentries in the main room and taunt killing each other and stuff.
Well, you might as well.
It's very silly. It's like a graphically intensive chat room now.
So TF2 is slightly balked, but
everything Valve does creates a little niche somewhere for people to exploit, you know. But when they start doing it in our server, it gets annoying, so I did some admin tools to just kick people.
Well, speaking of our servers, it's another good segue. That's two in a row. We're going to have a match of Counter-Strike Source, which we haven't played for ages now. Quite looking forward to playing again. June the 17th. So go on to our Steam community and find out more about that.
That'll be at 4:30.
4:30. There you go. Thank you, Tom.
We missed the match that we were going to play on Friday.
Oh, we did, because we were in the pub.
We had an urgent meeting.
an urgent meeting
in the boozer.
Which we apologise for, and we're very sorry.
I think it's basically my fault, because I got a little bit tipsy at lunch.
You did.
And decided, we're going to the pub.
You had a long editorial lunch, didn't you?
Yeah.
Graham and I were all gearing up to play the readers and looking forward to, you know, earning some new stuff. And then suddenly we were brutally pulled away to drink red wine.
Sorry about that. What else is going on with our communities?
Lots of things, actually. It's kind of... it's so cool. So I think... one of the best things we've done this year is just kind of really kind of go out for kind of fun community stuff, which is and it's kind of really paying off now. We had an event with the WoW Guild yesterday, where
it was Bank Holiday Monday, so everyone was loafing around.
Which was the kind of World of Warcraft pub crawl, where we split people into groups of 10 and made them kind of visit all the different bars in WoW and take screenshots, finishing with a raid on an Alliance town, which is Goldshire, which is where all the role players hang out. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of just, it is cyber central. It's just
RP griefing, I think, is one of my favourite things to do.
So we basically raided that area and took over their pub for about 10 minutes or so. But brilliantly, I kind of want to say this, we pissed off a load of people on the other side, to the extent I got a load of whispers in game a couple of hours later saying, "Why the fuck did you do that? Who do you think you are? You ruined all our kind of role play, and that was just completely out of order, you fucking bastards." I was like, you suck, lol.
Are you in character now?
Yeah.
I'd be saying, you shouldn't be saying this to me if you're actually in character.
But brilliantly then, like, the final guy, who's just incredibly angry, finished it with, "Can I join your guild, please?" No. But yeah, so the TF2 server's doing really well. The WoW Guild's doing brilliantly. There is now a PCG village in Worm Online.
Awesome.
Of, I think there's about 10 or 15 guys in that. So I'm sure they're having
founding
a great
a new world.
Time.
Frontiersmen.
Being attacked by bears.
Them. Yeah.
There is talk on our forum of setting up a Eve Corp, which I don't think we'll probably have that much to do with, other than just kind of giving it our blessing. But if anyone wants to get involved, there's a thread on the forum about it. And
Warhammer Online Guild is doing well.
Warhammer Online Guild is now pretty much one of the biggest guilds on their server.
So awesome. All of two people.
No, there's about 350-400 people in it now.
Yeah,
and we skyrocketed just recently, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just gone mad.
I think has there been a server merge or something?
That was a long time ago. Okay, they're doing really well.
And I have absolutely no idea how many people we have in our World of Warcraft guild. There is honestly no way of working it out.
I'm counting them off.
Well, but you can't because the list doesn't display properly. Because we've got more than 500.
Is it the first 500 who join display and no one else does, or is it just
it kind of people just people seem off, to drop it? Out randomly as they log on and log off? I mean, I can see people on this who haven't been on in 2 months. But then there are other people who are online now that I can't see.
Weird.
Yeah.
I think as we get a new person in, one of the old people from the original 500 is knocked off.
Yeah. I mean, they're all still there. Yeah. And they can all still talk. But it's just a displaying of the list. So I think we've probably got about 700 members.
Yeah. Is there any chance of getting them as many as possible in one place?
Yeah, we do events, you know.
Event just to get everyone there.
Oh, kind of maximum numbers.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's funny. Sometimes you think, oh, you know, that if we set up an event, you'll get, you know, everyone who's been online the last few weeks will see it and will want to come. But, you know, everyone has a life and other commitments. So I don't think we've ever had more than about 50 people for an event.
No.
Although we've had 50 plus online before for other things. But any given time, it's 30 to 50 people.
I think what my kind of the thing I'm most happy about is that it's sorry, I'm just playing with the microphone here. It's a casual-ish thing in that everyone can come on and be helped with some quests if they're kind of below 80, or if they're 80, they can just hang around. You know, it's big enough now for a bunch of niches to appear, like the hardcore raiders, the hardcore PvP stuff, and the just like the casual guys. So
yeah, it's a good atmosphere, and I mean, you're always going to have a few people who don't play by the rules or by the spirit of the rules, and you get people who just join in and then nick a bunch of stuff from the guild bank. But we're doing what we can to kind of maintain a good atmosphere for everybody.
Do you know how many Twitter followers we've got?
We have just over 1,500 now.
Awesome. Twitter followers.
Speaking of which, questions from Twitter.
We're doing well with the segues today. Questions from Twitter.
Drug Crazed, who is always annoyed that we don't reply to him on Twitter, asks, few questions for Podcat.
I just like to say that. Where's the Podcat?
From now on, we should call it the Podcat.
Yeah, that has
to be a photo of our office cat. To
piece of game of Podcat.
Have a meow as a jingle.
Planning on another showdown, and whenabouts would it be?
Planning another showdown. There is a lot of talk about another showdown, but no
excited murmurs.
I have half a plan about this. Actually, is
around your house?
Round Tim's house next Saturday.
Well, actually, is we say, hey, we're going to be in the park from 3 o'clock on this day.
It's not a showdown.
And just let everyone come and play cricket or something in the park.
Hang on, this isn't PC gaming.
Yeah, it's a little bit off message, but I'm intrigued.
It's only because a bunch of guys from the guild was saying, hey, can we have a meetup somewhere?
Oh, bless them. So, but answer to the question, he will hear about it when something is decided.
He also wants to know how the hell you get the new spy unlocks, and the answer is just to play TF2 indefinitely without thought or reason.
Yeah. And hope.
Ooh, harsh but fair.
I think this person is actually called Lucasa, but their name seems to be Lucasa Oz here. If you could have a mashup of any two games, what would it be and why? I think he means what would they be and why.
Ooh.
Actually, no, I think he's right. For instance, I want a KOTOR / Mass Effect mashup.
I want.
It seems like a bit similar to mashup, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Left 4 Dead and Planetside mashup.
I want a Left 4 Dead and Killing Floor mashup. Imagine a zombie game where it's you and your friends against endless hordes of zombies, but instead of being four or six players, there's five.
I'd like Baldur's Gate meets World of Warcraft, but without all the other people.
Cool.
So
I've actually
an enormous 3D world, bought Baldur's Gate, so everything is single player though. That's what I want.
I have thought about this, and I've actually always wanted to have a mashup of Hitman 4 and GTA 4. So you're in a building, and you do the hit as you would in Hitman, with all the kind of, you know, innocent people walking around and disguise systems and all that shit.
And you get chased across the city
when you put off the hit.
You're in Craig's face at the moment, just thinking about that, and just going, "Oh shit, that'd be amazing."
Yeah. No, I'm thinking about
how many people
we
you could kill.
We kind of discussed this sort of as a multiplayer version of Hitman, didn't we?
Yeah, but I'd like it so that as soon as you do the hit, you know, however much heat you've attracted, you bolt out the door, you get in your car, and that's how many stars you've got on your rating, and then you've got to get out.
I like that.
Lose the heat for the next shot.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Just add the two together. Come on, developers.
How hard can it be? Come on.
You've made both the games, just plus.
Yeah. Okay.
Meteoracle asks, games weigh in at 6 gigabytes these days. 10 years ago, it was 2 or 3 floppy disks. Do they need this much space, or are developers lazy?
No, developers lazy.
I think they need the space.
Depends on the game. If you want a lot,
plenty of developers still make things that you could fit on floppy disk. In fact,
if you want big areas with no load times with high res textures, then yeah, you need the space.
I put it to you, Meteoracle, that it is you who is lazy for not seeking out these small games.
And also, I would take issue with that. I mean, the original Baldur's Gate, just to take an example, I don't know where that came from, was a couple of gigabytes. So you know,
when was that?
98.
God, amazing that you can just go like that. Snap, 98.
It may be wrong though.
Half-Life was 98, isn't it?
It was like on 4 CDs plus the expansion and the it's a lot. Uncompressed is multiple gigabytes.
Yeah. Waste Manager asks, why have Valve ruined the unlock system? I wanted Trilby in the Ambassador, goddammit.
It's because they hate you.
Yeah, pretty much. They're your pain there, I think.
You and Tom.
I have the Ambassador, but I would love that Trilby.
Yeah.
It's fucking awesome. Although I do kind of agree with the hats just being like a totally random thing, because hats are random. It's an inherent random.
No one owns a hat, they just pick them up.
That's how they're acquired in real life. A Valve just walk up to you and say, here's your trophy. Although like they were talking about that as being like they wanted the hats to be like a badge of honor for, you know, they wanted to like feed into players liking to have their, you know, dedication recognized and stuff, but that's not really what
it's not what's happening at all.
It's just randomness recognized. Anyway, this one I don't understand at all. Mandrill asks, how meta is too meta with regard to MMORPGs?
This much.
Ross is holding up two hands about 3 feet apart.
Yeah.
So 3 feet of meta is acceptable.
Is that not too
meta? No, you don't want to go too meta.
Okay.
Oh, I'm going to skip that one. this person's catchy name. GCNDAVIDMNN.
Oh, him. I like him.
Or perhaps we could call him Zaphod. asks, is there enough massive damage in games today?
No.
There is if you hit the weak spot.
Yeah. Actually, no, there is massive damage. I took 50k damage last night in a single hit.
Well done. Did you die?
No, I got down to it was 50,000 damage points kind of in 2 seconds, and I got down to 100 health, and my healer went,
There's a lot of damage armor too, if you play around with the editor.
Radio Edit asks, what Steam games would you recommend for netbooks?
Ooh, Plants vs. Zombies, Bagel, oh god, all of them, quick, get the new issue.
If only we had some kind of feature about it.
If only there was some kind of feature.
That is
new
a
world issue.
Time feature, isn't it?
17 games, I believe, that we highly recommend for a netbook.
So buy a PC Gamer.
Yes.
And find out.
That's the solution.
He mentions that it runs Deus Ex fine, which is surprising, yet true. It used to run on my EPC perfectly. Which was just the end of my Christmas holiday with my family. just, goodbye, parents. Wigglesan says, don't you think whilst TF2 Arena can be fun, it shouldn't be in standard map rotations, as standard maps are way better? Hint.
So I put an arena map into our rotation just to because I quite like arena. But we should probably take it out. I do think, though, that arena is really good and is getting...
Yeah.
So once, I think the issue with it is that most people's servers are running the maximum player counts, and so that means a lot of people have to sit out. If you reduce the player count on the server, then a lot of people won't have to sit out.
Can't you also change the variable in arena mode where you say, you know, it's okay to have a team of 16 people?
You need to mod that into work.
That's what I want. Like, I don't care how many players there are per team.
Don't say.
I just, no one should be sitting out. Even if it's not me, I don't like other people having to sit out.
I think. The particularly the new arena map, the sawmill thing, is absolutely brilliant.
Yeah,
I've had so much fun with it.
Nucleus is a really kind of it's really tricky map to get your head around, but once you do, it's just it's really cool. It's like one long corridor, but in a circle.
Watchtower as well is really great.
Yeah, is that that's the Alpine one? Yeah,
it's the Alpine one with just it's a massive bowl with a tower in the centre, and it's kind of connected with
that was
with,
came out of the Scout update, right?
Yeah,
yeah. I hadn't played it because TF2 hadn't been working at home for me, and also I was just a bit burnt out on arena mode. Yeah. But yeah, I've been playing that this weekend. It's absolutely gorgeous.
You're wrong.
Yeah, basically we kind of don't hate arena mode as much as we used to. Ed Stern, who I believe works for Splash Damage.
Ed, I love Ed. I've talked to Ed all the time.
What's the one thing you'd like to change about the journalist, PR, publisher, developer relationship, other than aroma? I'd say the sex has probably been dragging a little in recent years.
I quite like us to not be the PR to the PR.
Yeah.
we do all Jason, it seems. You know.
Ooh.
It is. Yeah. Ross is nodding. He's trying to be...
He's not saying anything.
Yeah, he's nodding there.
I would like to hold hands more, I think.
In public.
I don't want to be fucked anymore.
Not enough booze.
We don't want to be fucked, Edson. We won't have it. Dark Renown asks, question for the podcast.
Podcast.
How is it that Val are able to just keep making TF better and better? He's referring, of course, to the original Team Fortress. No, he's not.
It's just, I know, because they're quite good at what they do.
They keep doing it until they stop.
I mean, they could fix this, but we'll see.
Yeah, I think they probably will make it better than it currently is. But I wonder how far they'll walk back this system. And follow up, will you guys ever write some TF2 player guides? I could really use some help being a spy or scout.
Yes.
TF2 guide, didn't we, with info on each class.
But I'm kind of planning a big tips feature where we get some kind of proper hardcore stuff.
Tips.
Everyone loves tips.
Play like PC Gamer. Badly.
Dajobat asks, Guitar Hero on PC, dear Christ, why? And also, how can they get away with Guitar Hero Aerosmith being the same price as 3 when... And then it ends. Yeah. when it is basically just DLC. It came in a separate tweet.
Guitar on PC, I would assume that the community have now got hold of it and have hacked it for loads of kind of just kind of inserting your own songs. So it might have some use there. I'll dig around because that sounds like a PC gamer thing, actually.
Another question from Drug Crazed. If you could be a character from any game, who would you be? Bear in mind life expectancy and quality of life.
That guy is drug crazed, I'll tell you what. Character from any game.
I'd be Gordon Freeman.
Yeah.
I'd be Alex.
No, I don't want
I'll be Dog.
Wow, it's just still halfway.
I guess I'd be the spy from TF2. Because I'd go invisible.
It would then you just die brutally constantly.
Yeah.
And then
I'd die all the time.
In real life, I wouldn't. I wouldn't be a spy in TF2.
Actually, no, fuck, I'd be a G-Man.
Okay.
Because he can't be shot.
Can I be Gordon Freeman then?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay.
I can just wake you up whenever I want and send you off to places.
Okay, cool. Yeah, but I'll have crazy adventures with robots.
Every strange.
He's so
going to space.
Just saying
he's in space now. So.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Exactly.
The rocket kind of blew up that he was in.
Or did it?
Yeah.
But he'll be all right. Lamar will be fine.
Or was he?
I guess I'd be the gnome.
Right.
The gnome is indestructible.
Ross's face when he turned around and said that was just, I'm going to be the Mar. Oh, yeah.
That's a cool name.
The ever strange Ed Stern asks another question. What are you most looking forward to at E3? Yes, I said moist. What of it?
I'm most looking forward to seeing Ed, actually. He's going to be showing us his new game.
That's a load of crap, isn't it, though?
Also, Ed is going to try and get me into the Splash Damage party, aren't you, Ed? And the Bethesda party, aren't you, Ed?
So what are you most looking forward to seeing is the question.
Yeah.
I know an excellent gentleman's bar, Tim.
Yeah?
That you'll most look forward to seeing.
Okay. actually, on a kind of more serious note, I am most excited about the things I don't know about. Because that's my favourite thing about E3.
Junior can forever.
I am most excited about Star Trek Online.
Oh,
I've become obsessed with it, particularly since seeing Star Trek. I just can't stop thinking about having my own spaceship. Just flying around some crazy, randomly generated galaxies.
I'm quite excited about the new Splinter Cell.
Okay.
Okay, Dan Price asks, of the four of you in the room, who would win in a bare-knuckle brawl? Let's find out.
I'm probably the only one here that's been in a bare-knuckle brawl.
I've been in a few of my
I haven't.
Yeah.
I think the answer is not Tim. I definitely have a weight advantage over, well, Craig and Tom combined, but I'm not sure that would be enough.
I'd just gouge the eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Craig looks a bit nippy.
Craig does have a vicious streak.
Got a background.
And Tom is quite wiry.
Yeah. Craig's from Glasgow, aren't you?
Well, not everyone from Glasgow is an evil.
No, I know that.
You take that back.
Yeah. Having said that. I will kill your family if you get me.
You did grow up in quite a rough area, didn't you?
Yeah, I grew up in an absolute crap hole.
Oddly, from someone else completely, Imperial Creed, who would win in an arm wrestling competition, Tim E or Ross?
Ross.
I think we've actually had that, and I think Ross has beaten me a number of times.
Yeah.
Ross does wait,
we could actually have that now, but I don't want to be humiliated on air.
This is awesome. JDog1329 asks, talk about Medieval World War II.
That's not a question.
MW2, is that? Oh, MechWarrior 2, maybe?
No, Modern Warfare 2.
Modern Warfare 2, okay.
Trailer looked interesting, but
yeah, that's
one beautifully made trailer.
That was fantastic.
I have to say, though, like, when I reviewed Call of Duty 4, I came away thinking, man, that was a good trailer for that game. And I made that look good.
Isn't the voiceover in the trailer a bit strange? Didn't it say something like, revenge is like a ghost?
Yeah, that is a bit weird.
It takes over everything it touches.
I think the thing about the Call of Duty trailer as well is that it doesn't look bullshit as well. It looks like things they could do.
There's the bit where someone like clotheslines a jet ski guy with an ice pick. It's like, I'm probably not going to be doing that.
Everyone says that it's not game footage, but the trailer, if you look in one of the part in top left hand corner at one point, it says checkpoint reached.
Yeah.
So, you idiots.
Radcliller asks, did you guys rage over the new weapons discovery system that the Valve just implemented in TF2?
Yes, I think we did about 15 minutes ago, yeah.
Dan Price, Evil Genius was incredible. Discuss.
Always a game I wanted to play. Actually, I haven't played it.
Yeah, Evil Genius. I was looking at screenshots of that recently.
Sorry, I wasn't paying attention. What did you say?
Evil Genius was great. Discuss.
Was incredible. Discuss.
It was, but it lacked a bit of balance. I'm trying to think of the game that it's a bit like. It's a bit like the movies. Obviously, you know, a link there. But, you know, great things you can do in it, loads of character and style. Just the balancing was a little bit out in that you ended up, I can't remember exactly what it was you ended up repeating, but there was a real sort of element of repetition, and just you get to this point where it stops being fun, but so much character.
What's the name of the dude that ran that studio?
Demi Hassabis.
Demis Hassabis. I don't know, but he's a really nice guy. So listening, Demis.
He's awesome.
Hello.
He's ascended to a higher plane. His brain not too big.
Yeah, probably.
Weirdly, like, Evil Genius is probably the sort of precursor to TF2's art style in terms of, it's the only other game that looks a bit like TF2.
Good point.
And in fact, there's one of the hero agents who comes in to try and raid your evil lair looks a lot like the demo does with his new afro in TF2.
Awesome. I must go back and play the movies, actually. As game I always wanted to kind of...
Movies is great, and then you get to a point where it's just, you can't keep the stars happy enough, and you can't make better movies.
The thing about the movies is that the movie-making part of it was the most hyped, but it just... It's essentially really dull and stupid.
It is. It's really dull. It's not stupid. It's
you're stupid.
It's too detailed.
Yeah.
And it takes too long to make anything. It is quite fun. I've got both the games. I've got the expansion as well. I'll lend you to them.
Tom Mayo asks, what's your third favourite? Actually, never mind. That might be pushing it a bit. Instead, which MMOs are you looking forward to?
I think
we covered that with Star Trek Online.
Yeah, the Old Republic as well.
Old Republic.
I don't play MMOs.
Which is going to be better than Star Trek Online.
And lastly, Dante MBH asks, what are your favourite levels in games and what makes them stand out?
In terms of levels to actually kind of play, I really
47.
Liked, yeah, I was...
Oh, level 48, I think, was my favourite level.
I really like the first payload map in TF2, if that counts.
Gold Rush.
I thought that was just a great piece of design.
I think I prefer Bad War.
Yeah, Bad War is awesome.
Because it's open enough for spies to move around. It's... clearly made for
it's
people
all about
to sneak
the
around.
Spies.
Well, having played that as a spy, I can now play it as other classes, a bit like the spy, so I can get through quite easily enough.
I keep thinking about the Mardi Gras level in Hitman Blood Money, which was
that was immense, wasn't it?
Like, it just had this huge thronging crowd, and you could, if you look at it closely, you can see the technological trickery they do it with. Like, certain people are the same, and they're all quite low detail at any kind of distance. But it is this amazing, you're tracking these three different targets through this crowd and trying to locate them. And they've done an absolutely beautiful job of making this unique character blend into all these characters who are kind of cookie cutter and template. And you do feel like you're just, you know, properly prowling this throng of people to find your target. And there's these little back alleys that you go off into where, you know, you're only a little way away from the crowd, but it's completely secluded and the main crowd can't see you.
Yeah,
you just got to watch out for a few waiters having a fag out the back and stuff. There's this amazing kind of thrill of shooting someone in the back of the head with a silenced pistol, like inches from just hundreds of people who could, run with you.
I like Italy on Counter-Strike. Good.
The chickens?
Yes. And the melons.
And that's it from Twitter.
Excellent. Good. Well, we'd better crack on because we've been rambling on for quite a while. Right, what else do we want to say about this new issue? There's a couple of important things in there.
Armour 2 review.
On a scale of 1 to good, it's...
83% good.
It's 83% good.
Spoilers, by the way.
Okay, that's Armour 2. No,
I really want to play Arma 2 with you in co-op, Craig, because we played it briefly and had a really nice time.
Yeah.
But we weren't taking it particularly seriously, and I want to have a kind of... So Arma 2 is big, kind of crazy war sim, semi-sequel to Operation Flashpoint 2, but it's fairly widely co-op in the campaign.
Yeah, you can just play the camp, apart from the first section, you can play the camp 3 and, with up to 4 people co-op.
Okay, cool.
And obviously we just didn't have a chance to do that. Yeah, playing seriously with me though.
Yeah, okay, well, yeah, I'll find someone else to play it with. Yeah.
I mean, you know, I'll run around and shoot things.
It does look like it's very attractive in terms of, you know, get your four guys together and creep through the woods.
Yeah, if you want to spend an hour crawling on your belly through a forest, then it's a good
one. With the night vision, it's incredibly atmospheric.
Yeah.
So when the kind of bit we played together, the sun came up as we were kind of doing it, and it was just absolutely beautiful. Yeah. And I'd laid a satchel charge in the middle of the forest to try and freak you out and blew it up. And I was so just flabbergasted by just the most basic detail that the tree kind of fell down.
I might have been looking the other way at the time. Well, that's the thing.
I mean, a seagull at the time.
Distracted by a frog.
Yeah.
And thankfully, not too buggy this time.
It's better than it was before. It's still
got a few issues.
It's a wait a month game, isn't it?
Buy it. You know, I mean, just buy it and you'll eventually get
patched to a great quality.
It's worth having in your collection.
Yeah.
Because of what it presents, the opportunity you'll have in the next year.
Try not to be angry when you come across a bit of an annoying bug, because it will get fixed eventually.
It's the AI stuff that's the issue, isn't it?
Yeah,
they've always had problems with their AI. They created this great AI for Flashpoint. Back then it was revolutionary, and now it just seems both working and dumb at the same time. Yeah.
Like I mentioned, and also, go on.
We've got a preview of a little game called Trine in the Institute, which is just a side-on platformer, very heavily based around physics, where you can switch between a wizard, a warrior, and a thief.
Let me guess, is the warrior strong but slow?
He's not slow.
But fast.
He's not slow, is he?
No, he's strong and heavy, and physics kind of comes into everything. So if you jump on someone's head, if you're playing as the warrior, you'll just crush him. You're usually fighting skeletons, and like their bones will shatter. If you're playing as the thief, you can jump on their heads without hurting them. And you'll also have things like sort of seesaw platforms which aren't weighed down that you've got to run across. So if you're a thief, you're light enough that you can get to the other side before
the
it
wizard can move blocks and things like that.
Yeah, and the warrior just, A, is good at fighting, and B, can pick up anything and throw it. And so there's some puzzles where there'd be like a really elaborate pulley system, and you're supposed to manipulate it with the wizard's telekinesis and lift certain weights and, you know, draw boxes out of thin air that will drop down and weigh up different things. But I found as a warrior, I could just grab the counterweight and walk off with it. And the whole chain, like, yanked down the rest of the system and kind of started gibbering and kind of getting all that whack.
So this is, it's not out yet, it's out in July or something?
Is it?
Yeah. And it's only like 50 minutes of the very start of the game that I've played, but it's got a co-op mode that looks really cool. You can do things like, you know, your friend stands on a box and you as the warrior pick up the box and throw it away. And or that the wizard can like levitate a piece of wood for the thief woman to fire a grappling arrow into and then swing from.
Yeah.
It was really cool, like interactive stuff. So read that.
Good. Excellent. And in the new issue, of course, we've got the review of Sims 3 as well, which turns out to be rather good.
Yes.
But Graham reviewed that and he ain't here.
Graham's been torturing our little PC Gamer family.
Yeah, he made PC Gamer family, and it's last time I checked, it seemed to have all gone to shit.
Someone went on fire last time I looked at his screen.
He was looking for something to write about, and I said, why don't you just start killing everyone? So he locked me in a bathroom without a door.
I was playing Sims 3.
Yeah.
And I was haunting you guys, apparently.
Oh yeah, you set fire to the house even as a ghost. You were barbecuing as a ghost.
Graham's review, I'm not convinced it's a review of The Sims. It's more kind of a thing, but... there's some lines in there that kind of just had me in hysterics when I was kind of going through it. Particularly, like, Timmy... So he just made all of us in The Sims and is kind of talking about what they did and how they did it and how that kind of... the new game works. But the line is, all that really happens is that Tim is just incredibly enthusiastic and loves video games, which is just so cute.
And lastly, there's one other thing I want to mention in the new issue, which is we have a reinstall piece by Christopher Livingston, who did... the awesome blog Living in Oblivion, where he tries to play Oblivion as a normal NPC and not have to get up into any adventures. This is him actually going back to Oblivion and playing it properly and sort of rediscovering the joy of it and just like the sheer potential of that game. And it's a really nice article.
Cool.
Yes, so lots of good stuff to read in the new issue of Peace Game, which is the second of our new look, which we haven't mentioned yet. So yes, if you missed the first one, go and have a look, because it's all a bit different, but no less good.
Lol, we look like a console mag. Lol.
Everything, no, looks, yeah. Everything looks the same. Lol.
One thing I want to mention, actually, Ross, is I noticed in the new issue we seem to have like just headlines at the start of reviews, and then the game name doesn't get mentioned until the strap.
Yeah, what's I get confused that? By that.
I'm hoping you can fix this mistake in a future issue.
I mean, I got to the score demigod before I realised what I was reading.
Oh, you managed to see the score. Some people haven't been able to spot.
Well, without a percentage, it's hard to tell what it really is.
It's literally like a page number.
What is it? Yeah.
I thought it was a number of Nazis in the issue.
How do you feel about the comments so far towards the readers of this?
That was Ross breaking a small child's neck.
There will be all those questions and more answered in the next issue of PC Gamer. Yes. Good, excellent. Well, that's about all we've got time for today. Do go out and have a look at the new issue that's on sale around about now. It's got Left 4 Dead 2 on the front, and you can't miss it.
Is it giving the readers the fingers?
No, it's not giving the readers the fingers. We're not using that bit of artwork. It just says Left 4 Dead 2.
Just so you know, like, so the Left 4 Dead logo was a four-fingered arm with a thumb ripped off, obviously, and this Left 4 Dead 2 logo is... basically given the Vic, I believe the phrase is.
Yep,
two more fingers have been ripped off.
I'm awesome. Just wondering if America has realised what they're doing yet.
Mm-hmm. Well, they've got English people working, British people working there.
So, I think they know exactly.
I wonder what they're going to do for the third one. Just going to jam a finger back in there.
I still think they should have called it 8 by Zombies and doubled the player count.
Good, excellent. Well, thank you for joining us, and we hope you will join us again for the next PC Gamer podcast. Goodbye.
So long, suckers.
Goodbye.